Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 94, Peter Moyes. We like to call Peter the professor because he is one of the most analytical people that I've met in this business, really understands products and how they move and how he can manipulate, not manipulate them in a bad way, but just, you know, squeeze the advantage out of them. I love the focus that Peter brings, and he's a smart dude. I mean, there's no, this seven-figure seller has been selling many years, but selling seven figures plus many years. That's no light accomplishment. And we talk about some of the foundational things that he's done in his business, which I think are just so smart. And I just think you're really going to get a lot of this podcast. Let's get into it. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. Man, and tonight's guest, I've been chasing for a long time because this is a long, old seller. He's been selling. I still say there has to be a measurement like dog years where you can multiply the number of years in e-commerce, because when you start selling, you know, between 8 to 10 years ago, that's a long time selling in this business. Welcome, Peter Moyes. Welcome, Peter.
Hello, sir. Glad to be on with you.
Man, you have been selling a long, long time.
Yeah, man.
I mean, we were talking about it in the pre-show. I mean, it's really, I mean, that's pretty exceptional. I mean, if you think about it, it's really interesting. And you started selling on eBay, of course, like most people. Did you start with a particular thing in mind? Were you in college? What were you thinking?
You know, I don't remember if I was in, I don't think I did any eBay selling in college. College was pretty much all about college. So it must have been after, and I definitely was just selling, you heard it so many times, but I was selling my own personal items. That's what started everything. So I actually, the first thing that I sold was a video game that I had finished for PS2 called Kingdom Hearts, and I played through the whole game and had a great time with it. Loved the game. Super awesome. And then I was like, well, what am I going to do with this? I could trade it into GameStop for like $1, or I'll put it on eBay, and I did, and I was amazed to find that it sold for more than I had paid for it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is that when the light went on, when you said, wait a second,
yeah,
I could buy something, use it,
yeah,
and sell it and make money?
You know, prior to having a network of people smarter than me, I pretty much had to figure everything out on my own, and there's a lot of stumbling across things, so that was definitely that kind of deal.
But doesn't that make you, I mean, at least, you know, in some ways, I feel like I cut my teeth on a lot of stuff because you had to stumble, right? I mean, now it's a little easier to get started, right? Because you could just, anybody, you know, you can watch a video on YouTube, hey, go scan this and you'll be a billionaire, right? Back when it was harder back then, right? You kind of had to figure out things. You don't have to do like taking pictures on eBay. I love, you know, how easy it is now. It was hard back then. You had to understand a lot of it. It's kind of the foundational part of working in e-commerce that I think is lacking in some areas today. And then people struggle later on and they're like, wait, I never knew that. Well, that's because you didn't have those foundation established. You agree?
Yeah. The only reason why I'm on Amazon, or let's say the trigger was exactly what you just said, eBay was a pain. And Amazon was like, you know what? Sell with us. You don't have to upload a picture because we already have one.
You know, I was in my gym tonight working out, and the owner of the gym and I were chatting, and he goes, hey, I started selling on FBA. And I said, well, you know, listen to my podcast and you can get some tips. He said, well, that's why I'm selling on FBA. And I'm like, ooh, whoops. But you know what? It's cool because he's got like five kids. He's the greatest guy in the world. And this is something that might functionally fit his life. I think it's cool. You know, I just love to see somebody who's smart, who's, you know, generous with his gift. You know, he got something from something I did, so I think it's pretty cool. So why selling? Because, you know, you have a college degree. You have had a career path. What caused you to start selling? Were your parents entrepreneurs or were your grandparents? I mean, was there something that said, hey, I'm going to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I guess everybody in my family is interested in selling.
Oh, really?
My dad's side, they're farm people. So farmers are usually self-employed, you know, they own their land and kind of, you know, have
they're
to find their own
customers. They're
always
buying and selling, right? Bartering. I mean, they're always doing something.
Yep. So there's a lot of entrepreneurial type activity in that. And my grandfather was big into real estate. Although he had just like a normal job, he did a lot of real estate on the side.
Well, that's rare because he's obviously older. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So were you able to watch that? Did it rub off on you?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Everybody in my family, you know, always talks about like the value of things, you know, and I think that flipping is just in my blood.
Well, the skill set that you picked up, now obviously there's an intelligence, but did you pick up recognizing value? Did you pick up the ability to analyze? What do you think is the skill set that was transferred from, you know, while you were just, you know, taking that stuff in?
Well, I can remember so many times where, like, I'd be hanging out with my grandparents and my parents, and we'd go to, like, an antique store or something, mm-hmm. and they would be critiquing the prices in the store, like, you know, man, this is that's crazy expensive. I can't believe this guy is trying to charge this much for this, you know? And then you occasionally would find, like, a good deal. So that was pretty much happening all the time.
You know, I still sneak into the antique stores. We have many of them in our town. And I just, when I need some time where I don't want to go work in a warehouse or I don't want to do anything, I just wander through. And what I've concluded, how I start to measure things is I remember things. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then I'm like, wait, I saw it over in that booth and I saw it in that booth. And I said, okay, not rare.
Yeah.
Move on, right? You know, and it's just you start doing that over time and then you start to get that price. Right, you start recognizing those things. You have a little bit of thrifting in your blood still, right? You haven't been able to get off of it.
A little bit. That's the role that eBay plays in my life now, for the most part, is getting rid of.
Do you get to sell things you love?
It's the T-shirts, man. I went crazy with the T-shirts and the Hawaiian shirts and stuff, the thrifting with the boys kind of stuff, and I have. I don't know how many of them now, but they don't move fast on eBay. Just a little bit of real truth for you. Maybe it could have been my product selections. You know, $3-4 for a T-shirt, I'm buying everything I can, thinking I can sell them all for $20 or more. And I don't know if that's really realistic. So I have a lot of shirts that I need to list on eBay. I know you have a warehouse of stuff that you need to list on eBay.
I bet you I have 30,000 items.
So, yeah, we're in the
not
same
not exaggerating.
Boat
yeah. You know, and it's you know, Amazon returns come back. I just, you know, get a bunch of them back and, you know, go through and say, okay, these have never even been opened. Fine. Oh, wait. I see a scuff, especially on shoes, because I sell a lot of shoes. It's like, okay, they're going to eBay. And then I start to look. I'm like, oh, that pile's growing again. Mm-hmm. But I'm fortunate my college son is home for the summer, so he will be busy working on eBay.
Yeah, well, you know, he's fortunate, too, that you have, you know, a problem that he is the solution for. It. Some problems are actually blessings in disguise because you get to help somebody else out.
Well, what's really become interesting is he's doing merch because that's what he does at school, right? He's an IT major, specializing in that. And then where he goes to school is really close to Todd Forrester's warehouse. So he's going to be working with Todd this next year. And I think it's good for him and it's good for Todd. But I love him to see, you know, to get perspective. I think, you know, at this age and I'm really hoping that he can figure out what he wants to do. I heard somebody say this the other day, and it just sticks with me so long, is that you need an income, not a job, right? You really want to do what you love, but you need an income. You figure out what your income, that your needs are, find a way to fulfill it. You know, I don't know if you heard the interview I did with Chris Wilkie, who took his dream job but took a pay cut to do it, and he does his Amazon enough to allow him to do that. He fills that in, and it's just so genius because, you know, that's contentment. You know, when you started your first job, were you content?
When I started my first job out of college, was I content?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I went to Vanderbilt University here in Nashville, and it's kind of hoity-toity. It's a very good school, but a lot of the students that go there, I don't want to speak for all of them, but a lot of them think that when they graduate, the world is going to be handed to them on a silver platter. Because
didn't happen, did it?
No, I don't know if it happens anywhere, but no,
I don't think it does.
It didn't happen for me. So I learned after a while that if you want something, you kind of have to assert yourself. And so that's what I do now. But for the job that I got out of college, I kind of just fell into it, I guess you could say.
Well, it's a different world today because I agree with you. You have to kind of take the bull by the horns because, you know, it's funny. I have a son who's older and he talks about his job and he knows he's not going to be there forever. I mean, they just know it. Where when I grew up, it was, you know, you go work for a company and you work there for 30 or 40 years, you retire, and that's what's expected. Most of those companies are gone, by the way. They're all out of business. But it's just interesting how now the generations really are different. And I always tell people, you know, college degrees are great, but lots of people have them. Did you learn anything? Did you learn a skill that you can help bring into our business?
Yeah, you know, that's almost an understatement because I read recently that there is more student loan debt in America than there is credit card debt.
Wow.
So that's a lot of people that went to school. Mm-hmm. And that's debt that is active on the books, right? So they went to school and they haven't paid that off yet.
That's trouble. And, you know, if you go and you know, you get $100,000 or $200,000 in student loan debt and then you go take a job for $20,000 or $30,000 a year, you're never going to pay that off. I mean, I think it's almost impossible to pay it off.
Well, that's a pretty cheap income though, dude.
Yeah, well, I agree. But, you
but
know,
if you make 50 grand, you're still going to have trouble paying it off probably at today's prices.
So you are, you know, I'm going to call you the mega seller, right? You've been selling over seven figures for many years now.
Come on, Steven.
That's my term. I can use it. It's my podcast. No, I don't. That's not true. It's not true. I take some heat for using that term. But, what I want to talk about, I want to take us a break. But when I come back, I want to talk about, because for several years you've been at that level, but, you know, you bought a house with a warehouse.
I did.
Because you did. You know, you've had an employee who is a friend of yours, but she's been there for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. That continuous growth, continuous improvement, continuous refinement, I think is what a lot of people are looking for, and you're living proof that it can be done. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hope you're having a great 2016. We know we are. It is a great year. Second quarter, looking pretty strong. We're in shoes and clothing. We think you should be too. If you are thinking about it, look at yoursourcedinventory.com. That's yoursourcedinventory.com. We're members. Listen to these stats. March, average shoe rank, $7,290 with a selling price of $89.42. Now think about that. That high selling price is where you're going to benefit. $31.40 profit, 80% return of investment. That's incredible. Clothing, average clothing rank was $8,966. Average selling price, $46.06. Again, you don't have to sell as many items to get that profit. Average profit, $16.99, almost 17 bucks. That is a great deal. 94% return of investment. That's yoursourcedinventory.com. Think about getting that clothing list, that shoe list sent to you 5 days a week, once a day. Take advantage. You'll grow your business as much as we have. Yoursourcedinventory.com. Thanks. Told you this is one smart dude. Love talking with Peter because he does make you think. You know, he's going to challenge your thinking. He's going to bring about some other ideas you didn't think about. Again, consistent seven-figure seller. That's hard to do. It's hard to keep doing and to keep fine-tuning, almost reinventing it. I just love how his focus is so intense, and he is successful. There's no question about it. I also like the way he's expanded into other things. I think that's a very smart business move. He's got his AFT group, him and Ryan Witeska have. He's got Flipforce, Merch by Amazon, or AFT, AFT Social, Beast Mode Deals. He's going to get into all of them. It's something I didn't even know he had. I mean, it's just amazing to me where he gets the time. But again, he's built that foundation in his business that allows him to do these things. These are great tips. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Peter Molius. And Peter is the professor, as we like to call him, because he is one of the more analytical sellers that you'll meet. Very analytical, always calculating, always figuring things out. And I think that's an obvious skill set gift. skift is a better word, right? I made that up. It is. I mean, it really is. How long have, I mean, was that like, you know, that first sale when you did the quick math and said, I bought this game for $20. I used it for a period of time, sold it for $30. There's a business here. Is that where the clicking started? I mean, is that just innate in you where you just automatically say, I can get a velocity here and I could do this and blah, 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 blah?
It could be. I think it probably comes from being an English major, though, because if you don't write a good paper, if you don't analyze what you read very well, then you know, you don't get a good grade. So it's not an option to not analyze things. It could, though. You know, there are certain personality types. Some people are just analytical. I'm probably one of those people. I probably annoy the crap out of some people with it. But
most English majors are not good math majors.
I wouldn't say that I'm good at math.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've seen some of the stuff that you put out there. I mean, it sure looks like you are. Either that or you're good faking it.
I don't know how much. Okay, so yeah, I do like a good spreadsheet. I like to kind of project things, but I wouldn't be making $1 million year after, or selling $1 million year after year after year. If I was great at math, I would figure out a way to double and triple that each year. So I think for me, my business, what it means to me personally is mental engagement. I think my favorite part of the retail arbitrage job, honestly, is looking at the Keepa charts and setting my prices and looking, you know, in some cases I'm like, oh man, you know, there's all these lowballers on these toothbrushes. Well, that's fine because I'm going to set my price to where it was when before these 30 new sellers showed up, and I'll just wait. And I don't know. I just enjoy that. I like setting the prices.
Now, has that fared you well, and is it still faring you well?
I think so. You know, I had a conversation with someone a while back, and he was like, yeah, I'm just curious, how much inventory do you have at Amazon? And I gave him a number, and I guess it was a little high. And he was like, what's going on with that? Your turns suck, or, you know, what's up? And I was like, well, I don't necessarily consider myself a fast turn seller. I'm not necessarily a slow dime seller. I'm a guy who, you know, wants to have some kind of engagement or a relationship in a way with my inventory. So I'm not saying that I fall in love with everything that I sell, but I was recently thinking about how retail arbitrage is different from, say, wholesale arbitrage or private label arbitrage or drop shipping. And I think for me, it's because each item, if I'm the one that sourced it in the store, I kind of remember, you know, what that day was like, what I had to go through to get that thing, right? And to me, that makes it kind of magical that there's a story interwoven with the inventory, whereas, you know, my private label thing, I remember the story on that too, but it's not quite the same. There's not that variety there.
It's not as romantic.
Sure, I guess I'm a romantic.
No, you know what? As I sit there listening to you say it, you're right, right? Because, you know, you chose that item out of, you know, all the other items, and it wasn't just a scan. There was something that was attractive there. There was something that said, hey, this is the right level of return. Hey, this is something that I think can outlast the lowballers, which you know are going to come, right? Because everybody else is buying that or whatever, but they're going to come in and get out quick. You saw that there's value.
Yeah. And, you know, there's more than that. You know, a lot of these things represent actual relationships that I have with people. You know, I have several sourcing groups that I'm involved in, and I can say, yeah, you know, I don't want to take $50 for those RC cars because I know that my buddy Brandon told me about them and he's waiting to sell them in Q4. So I might as well wait too. You know, it's I'm not like a lone wolf anymore like I was, you know, when I was getting started.
Well, you scaled to a level that you can afford to wait. Now, some people would say, well, that's silly because your money's not making you money. But, you know, there's also a limit to what one or two people can buy, right? So if you made good buys and it makes sense to sit on it for a little while, I think that there's some logic there.
I think,
you agree?
Yeah, you know, I think it's silly to just pursue a profit for the sake of profit.
Suck your soul away.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, you run the risk. That's not to say that I don't occasionally need money. You know, it is a good motivator. Debt is a great motivator. All the Dave Ramsey fans would hate me saying that, and I'm not actively incurring debt. But I wouldn't necessarily turn away an Amazon loan if they offered them in Tennessee. I think I could do a lot with that.
You know, I think about your story. You know, I've been watching for years. And you bought a house, right? You were living in a condo.
Mm-hmm.
And were you processing everything in the condo at that time?
Yes, sir. I had pallets delivered to that condo.
Wait, what level of floor were you on?
It was only a single, well, I guess it was more of a townhome. I slept on the second floor, but it was...
Okay. Where were you processing, the first floor?
No, man. I had to process everywhere I could. I had a two-bedroom, so it started, you know, where I had an office in my second bedroom. And then as I started getting into wholesale, I was so funny with wholesale. Looking back, you know, at my inexperienced self, I got so nervous. My first wholesale account was with Ingram Entertainment because I wanted to get video games. Because video games are incredibly difficult. It's very hard to figure out where you can source them. And I was like, ah, I'll use Google. Finally, I cracked the code. And so I called them up and I'm like, would you sell to me? You know, real nervous. And they're like, sure. You know, do you have a resale certificate? You know, no big deal. But for me, it was a big deal. So I started buying like tons and tons of stuff. That's where you can get Skylanders. So I would get pallets of Skylanders delivered to my condo, and I would have the boxes of Skylanders, you know, going up to my ceiling. My mom was calling it the cardboard kingdom. It was rough, man.
But you did it.
But I did it.
And so you decided to buy a house with a warehouse on the property.
Yeah, pretty recently. I was just searching on Zillow. I just put in the term warehouse. And like,
wow.
And
that's deep. That's really deep.
Yeah, a match came. I know, right? My Google skills.
You're an English major after all. Remember that.
But a match came up 20 miles north of Nashville, and I was like, this looks cool. And it had been on the market for a very long time. And I was like, I bet if it's still available, I can get a good price. And I did.
Well, you know, why would somebody buy a house with a warehouse, right? I mean, you got to have a business and you know, thinking about that, you know, maybe today in our circles that would be very popular. But outside of our circles, most people are like, man, I don't want that big eyesore in the back of my yard. What am I going to do with it? It's going to be, you know, place to store junk.
Totally.
But it's been very functional for you. Would you say that was that a pivot point in your business?
It allowed
a pinch point.
It wasn't a pinch because it didn't impact my money.
You got
situation.
A lot of inventory stored, well, right?
Yeah, it allowed me the ability to hoard more for longer.
Yeah,
and
that's what I mean.
And I guess I'm a bit of a hoarder, but you kind of need, I think, a space to work if you want to do it the way I do it. You know, I could do it from inside my house, and I could store everything at FBA. I have a ton of stuff at FBA, but I really like the idea of playing distributor. So, like, I'm not an actual distributor, but what distributors do is they have a contract with the manufacturer, and they don't have a choice. They have to take, you know, X number of units, and then they have to store them somewhere so that when a little guy like me comes along and says, okay, I want 10 units, they're there for you, right? So what I do, or what I've done a couple of times now, is place a large wholesale order to get the maximum discount, put it all in my warehouse, and then as I run down, I just, you know, type on Facebook Messenger, hey, Ryan, we need another case of this, another case of that, and she sends them in.
You know, I do the same thing. I do the same thing with private label, and where I will only send in X number of units. You know, I just send in 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
I have the space to store it.
Mm-hmm.
And so why store it there? Why incur a fee? So I just send it in as I need to. And, you know, it kind of helps because I'm sending in shipments 2 or 3 days a week. So it's not a big deal to add a few to it, you know, and you get pretty fast at it too. So I don't think it's a bad idea, especially if you can get the price breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Free shipping or those kind of things. Now, do you have a forklift and a loading dock and all that kind of jazz?
I do have a forklift. It doesn't run. I know.
Oh,
so I don't know.
That's probably a problem. Yeah, that might be a problem.
Yeah. I don't need one.
Okay.
Was it Todd Forrester's interview where he talked about he wished he didn't need a forklift because of the liability issues?
Matt Kelly.
Okay. Yeah, I loved both of those podcasts. Oh.
Yeah, Matt Kelly. Yeah, he. Well, Todd doesn't need a forklift because he has two loading bays. It's kind of a great warehouse. I was there a few months ago, I guess it was. He's got a shared loading dock. I love this kind of warehousing, and you should be looking for it in your area. So he doesn't pay for the expense of having a loading dock because it's expensive. You know, those doors are expensive. The plates that match up with the trucks are expensive. So the way this landlord has this built is it's shared amongst many tenants. And so he gets the benefit of having it, but without the cost.
Super cool.
And so, yeah, it's really cool. And so he's able to just bring a pallet jack over there and just unload. It's just so cool. Now, is it as fast as a forklift? No, but it's, you know, it's a heck of a lot safer, heck of a lot less expensive. Forklifts, you know, when you have to replace, if you have an electric one, to replace the battery, it's $5,000 at a minimum. I mean, these are not cheap things to maintain, and the expense on the insurance is very expensive. So, yeah, I think if you can get away without one, we don't have one. We have a loading dock that a tractor trailer cannot match up with. But so we were able to just do it, you know. I told you, they unloaded my two pallets today at our UPS store for me, which is the coolest thing ever. Yep. They actually do that, and it's such a great deal because they call me and say, hey, it's here. So I don't have anybody at our warehouse during the day, and boom, that's just a very cool thing.
Yep, I used to do the same thing when I had my day job.
Well, you don't have a day job anymore. You got a pretty big business, though. You know, the other thing, well, so the buying the house with the warehouse in mind, I just think is genius. You know, you have a, what, 20-foot walk to go to work?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, and if you don't feel like going, you don't go.
Yeah, I don't really go out there that much anymore because my employee, who is awesome, and I've learned so much from her, she's here every day from 9 to 5, and she's doing, you know, most everything except setting the prices.
So she's able at this point, right? Now, she's been with you how long? 3 years?
Yeah, about that.
Now, think about that. I hope everybody hears that. He's had an employee who was a friend of his at one time, right? I'm sure you're still friends,
sure.
But it's now a different relationship. But still, I think it's very cool, again, to see that you've consistently had an employee for 3 years. She hasn't started her own Amazon business, right?
No, I don't think she's interested in that at all.
Right. She sends you pictures because I've seen some of the pictures when she sees a good deal. She's saying, hey, look at this.
All the time.
I saw you posted. That's very cool.
She's very interested in the business. You know,
she's invested in it.
She enjoys her job, and she wants to, you know, keep the job for, I guess, a long time.
Why would she want to keep the job? What do you allow versus another job? I mean, it sounds like very independent because she's out there by herself, so she can kind of
– It's close to 100% autonomy. The only limiting factor is that she needs to be in the warehouse. So she would like to do in-store sourcing.
Mm.
And obviously from the pictures you just mentioned, she does set that kind of like on her own time. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't necessarily buy those things unless I say, yeah, we need those, you know. That's really the only restriction. And if we add more people, which I think I'd like to do one day, then there will be room for that, definitely.
Well, why do you have unlimited revenue goals, or do you have, you know, you're not content where you're at now?
No, I don't think that anyone, well, ugh. It's okay to be content, but I think I probably would like to make $1 million a year. A lot of people say, oh, Pete, you sell $1 million a year. Does that mean you make $1 million a year? Well, no, I don't. No. You know, but I think that would be a nice thing just as a goal, and I'm not saying that I need to do that, you know, this year or next year, but, you know, sometime soon. And that's not just because, you know, I want a bunch of money and I want to hoard it in my warehouse and fill it up with gold or whatever. That'd be pretty cool. But it's because it just would allow me more flexibility,
cool.
And I could do more for other people.
Okay. All right. So that would be your why, right? Is you would be able to do more.
Yeah.
For others.
You know,
I like
for
that.
So long, I've definitely had a lot of people offer me opportunities and touch my life in a positive way. And I would like to just be in a position where I could do more of that myself. And I'm kind of there, and I do some things, but I just like to kind of maximize that if possible.
I always remember you saying, because, you know, I guess it was a couple of years ago, there was that big scare about people, you know, getting kicked off and all that kind of jazz. And you always said, you know, I have a really great skill set. I can buy stuff and sell it. I know somebody else would hire me in a hot second.
Yeah.
And that's always stuck with me because it wasn't arrogant in any possible way. It's like, Steve, recognize you have a skill set is really what you're saying.
Well,
you know, you have a skill set.
I got that from my grandfather, the real estate guy, because he would always talk about, he was from the Great Depression times, right? And he would always talk about, you know, the importance of basically blue collar jobs. I guess when he was experiencing the Great Depression, he saw that people who had a skill, even if it wasn't a high level skill, were still able to feed their families. So he would always tell me, like, it's great to be, you know, a server at a restaurant, or if you know how to cut hair, you're basically golden.
Everybody's going to need it. Well, is that advice then you could give to sellers? Is to master this business, not just sell crap and make a profit. That's good. But learn how to do it all the way through, really understand it, really get those foundations that some people are missing. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that in many ways you can jump forward, but without a scanner, you might be lost. So you really should fill in those foundational skill set. Is that advice you would give?
I guess so, man. I think that you should find something that interests you and just do that.
What do you mean?
Well, for me, this job and all the things that I do are all about mental engagement. When I worked at my last job, I was basically doing the same things every day at a desk. And that just kind of bored me to death. That's not why I was put on this earth, you know? I was put on this earth partly to enjoy myself. So now I have all of these different things that I do. So when I feel like, you know, getting a little physical activity, I can go back to the warehouse and move things around and pack them up and all that stuff. And when I feel like being a thinking kind of dude, I can, you know, try to write something or read some books and try to combine some ideas and come up with something, some new strategy that I can use in my business.
Do you find yourself going out in the warehouse sometimes just because you need to, just to go, like you said, move a few boxes just to get it out? And,
totally,
you know,
man. Yeah, for me, you know,
I love it.
It's all about.
I think it's right. I think
kind
you're
of,
right.
Maintenance, you know, it's like part of my brain wants to do something, and the other part is like, well, you know what? I don't know if I can indulge that. Let's go do something. Let's change our state, basically, right? So you get some physical
really
activity and you're getting work done. And then when you're done with that, maybe your mind is a little clearer. I hope that's not like two.
No, I think you're actually right. You change your state, right? That's a Tony Robbins kind of thing. Change your state,
yeah.
Right? It's just change it, you know, get out there and do something different. So if you're in a funk, it's me walking through the antique mall. I don't buy anything anymore because I don't need any more stuff, right, like that. But I love just clearing my head. There's no chance of thinking about anything else. It's just, you know, just like you said, change your state, right? You get in that funk.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind
like
of thing
it.
That I sort of resented about my awesome desk job. It really was an awesome job. And a lot of people would be like, this is what I want. I love the stability of coming into this office and knowing exactly what I have to do every day. That was a good job. It just wasn't a good job for me. Because for me, it was like, I feel a little bit like a prisoner. I can't change my state.
Love it. Love it. Okay, so I love the selling story. I know that you sell private label, wholesale, and retail. What percentages are each?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think that it changes. You know, retail arbitrage is awesome, but I don't really necessarily like to do it when it's raining out or snowing out. And lately, in Nashville, I think we had 4 days of rain last week and one sunny day, and the sunny day was Friday. And by Friday, I was ready to get out there and hit some stores. But, you know, I guess I've designed things well enough where I have choices. So I don't know. You know, it all depends if it's.
So it can mix. Your mix
absolutely.
Changes depending on. And I think that that's cool because, it's that romance. Peter, you are a romantic, man. I'm just going to call it out there right now. That's it. You're a romantic. That's it. You got a little thing going on with your inventory. You got a little thing going on with the mood and how you source. I can see it.
I've
you got
a pretty
it.
Good
That's,
life right now. I haven't always had a good life, but I've got things set up pretty well right now where I can admit to loving parts of my life. And if that makes me a romantic, I'll wear that.
That's very cool, though, because you've designed that. It didn't just happen by accident, right? There's been a lot of hard work put into that. And I think that that's the lesson. Again, right? Employee there for 3+ years. That says something. That says something about you, the systems you put in place. Obviously, you built up, you know, you've scaled this to be a pretty good operation. And again, I still admire the house bought with the warehouse in mind because it's functional. It, you know, it serves what you need and it allows you the life that you want because you're close to your stuff if you need to be and you're not if you don't need to be. I just think that that's very cool. So you also have some groups you're involved in.
Yes.
You and Ryan have AFT.
Ryan Witzeska, who did podcast number 30.
Man, you know the numbers.
No, I don't.
I can't.
Everybody's always guessing.
Okay, because people ask me, and I'm always like, I don't know. But it was the best one ever. That's what I always tell them.
Uh-huh.
And they always say, hey, what was my episode? I don't know, but it was the best one. It was my number one
listen.
I'm
hoping I get a good number, man.
I think you'll be great. Don't worry about that. So, amazing flips and tips.
AFT.
Tattoos and all. I mean, you guys really, how long has that group been around?
You know, I'm not really sure. I guess a little
been
over
a long
2 years.
A little over 2 years. Solid couple hundred members. And it's not only flips, because there is a lot of tips. I mean, there really is, because there's really – you guys really want to work on the technical side, the understanding of why you should buy something. I see a lot of that in the group.
Yeah, it's a mastermind. I mean, you know, we kind of hung,
I don't
that,
like that,
hung
term.
That label
I don't
on
like
it.
That. I don't like that term. I don't believe in masterminds. I don't think they work. But
well, I have a lot to say about that topic, but I probably cannot fit it all into our conversation today. But I feel like it's pretty accurate because there's a lot of people in this group. It's 200 people, I think. And they're
and
all
so – it's been 200 people.
Yeah, it's been 200 people for a while. And they're all so different. Some people, you know, are hardcore into private label. And we don't really talk about private label much in the group, but they understand the value of AFT that they hang around just in case.
Well, but also isn't the skill set used in retail or in wholesale the same, or some of those skill sets used in private label? So, you know, and you really have to learn them. And again, they're foundational. And so I think a lot of what gets talked about is related to private label, just not the last piece of it or the first piece of it, sourcing and that kind of thing. But I think there is... You know, the especially, you know, when it comes to reporting and analyzing reports and analyzing buys and analyzing why is that strong? Why buy that? Why not buy this? And I just think that that stuff is so valuable. But there have been some people in there that have been in there for a long, long time. I mean, and they're pretty solid. You got a lot of solid sellers there.
Yeah, our average seller in AFT has been selling on Amazon for 5 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How long has the average person been in the group?
Probably that entire 2+ years.
Darn close to it, mm-hmm. I would say. Yeah, because the same people that I see in there were the same people that were there 2 years ago.
Yeah, I would say it's probably maybe 80% or so.
And that says something about a group, too. And, you know, I always say this, is that I think all groups have a place. You have to find the one that you fit, because not everybody fits, and that's okay. You know, and that doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it different, and there need to be differences, because if everybody was doing the same thing, you'd have the same results, and we don't need that, right?
You know, it's kind of like a gated community, honestly. The foundation is trust. People know that Ryan and I are not going to let idiots in there, and they know that when they ask a question, they're going to get a well-thought-out answer. We don't just let, you know, mediocrity fly. So we don't hold back when.
No, it's pretty direct. It's a direct group. But you know what? I appreciate that. You know what I mean? You know right where you stand. But you have another group. Tell me about this.
I've got a few actually.
All right.
My latest thing is Flipforce.
That's the one I'm talking.
Flipforce.
Yep.
Flipforce is cool, man. I really like Flipforce. Flipforce, I guess you could say. Since AFT became more of a tip-oriented group, a lot of the bolos were like, it just they weren't as important to people because their businesses were growing beyond the bolo, right? But bolos are still fun and they're still useful. So I said, why don't we come up with this thing that's loosely based on a small mini mastermind that I was in with three other guys, where it was just constant stream of high quality stuff, right? And we were in that mini mastermind, we were really just focusing on like one or two stores at a time. And I was like, how can we do this and make it better? I'm always looking at everything and saying, how can we make it better? I'm like, well, if it's working with four people, how about 100, 200, you know? But we have to make sure that they will keep it flowing, right? Because there's nothing worse for me than being in a dead group, a dead mastermind, whatever, where everybody's like, you know, they're working, but nobody's reporting back their findings. You know, the communication kind of sucks. So with this, the concept is everybody does two bolos. It's in-store only, retail arbitrage. Two bolos per week every week. So this is a new group. That's part of why I'm excited about it, because it's only been around for a month now. Mm-hmm. And in our first month, we had, I think, 800 bolos.
Wow.
So certainly everyone is going to be able to find some of these. And the beautiful thing about having to post up two per week, or unfortunately, if you do not meet that minimum, you're asked to leave. The beauty of it is, for me, I'm always struggling with motivation because I've got so many different things that I can do. It's hard to make a choice and say, all right, this is the important one. So this gets me in stores week after week after week because I know that the people in the group are depending on my finds.
So this is really geared towards that retail or person who loves shopping.
100%. It's the romance, man. It's the love.
Yeah, we're back to being that romantic. So you've got to be there are people that just love it. You know, I mean, it just that is their thing.
Yeah.
And there's some people who don't.
I like the money, but I love the work and the networking with the people that I know. That's the why. You ask me what's your why? That's what it is. I want to do something that I feel like matters. And when other people are involved, it seems to matter more.
I love it. Love it. Okay, so here's the cost. It's $50 if you're a non-AFT, so a non-Amazing Flips and Tips member. So are you still accepting members?
Yes.
Okay, so it's $50, and I'll put the link in for you. I don't care. I don't benefit in any way. It's there. If you're an AFT member, it's $25 a month. And it's not only that cost, though. You have to bring how many weekly or monthly?
Two
flips
per week. I know it sounds like a lot, but we've got over 100 people on there now that have been doing it week after week after week. And a lot of them come in like right under the wire Saturday night, but they get it done.
They get it done. And so realistically, what's been the experience? So you said there were 800 flips. I mean, what's somebody reasonably can expect? Will they be able to find a decent percent of them, 10%, 20%, 50%? Because they're all RA, right? These are all RA.
Yeah. That number, it's not just the finding of things. Like, you didn't really put, like, a time constriction on that. But
so it's more the why, right?
No.
It gives you that little trail. Is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah. So it brings you a familiarity with different types of things that could potentially be great. But also, I think people are going out and finding these things.
So it makes them better because they force themselves out to do it. And really, it kind of holds you accountable. Maybe that's a good way to say it, too.
Absolutely. I think people go to the stores hunting for something that they might have seen in the group, and maybe it pans out or maybe it doesn't. But if it doesn't, then they're scanning because they have to provide the finds.
There, too, right. So they got to find there, too.
They find something no matter what.
That's interesting. I love the urgency in it. I think that's probably the thing that's attractive to it because it's 1 week. I mean, you got 1 week to prove yourself pretty much,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But
and then guess what? Next week,
mm-hmm.
you got to prove yourself.
Yeah.
And the week after. So you personally have to find 104 items a year.
Yeah, but, you know, that's not all of it. It doesn't have to be something obscure. It can be like, yo, what are we flipping this week? Because, you know, in the world of reselling, there are times that you want to flip a certain thing, and then it can be cold in 2 months' time. So with this pressure that we're talking about of making sure that people are providing two per week after week after week, it compresses like a pressure cooker, and it makes sure that we know about just about everything out there.
Well, yeah, I was just sitting here thinking about this. There's no chance that a new movie that puts out a product line is not discussed when you have 100 people that are out there scanning and searching because they need to get their two in, right?
Right.
So whoever can, you know, break the Shopkins of the past, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, there's 90 other Shopkins-related products out there, they quickly make it in the group, and then it fades pretty quick, and now you're on to the next thing. So,
probably,
I mean,
I don't think we've probably had a couple Shopkins boatload in there. I love Shopkins. I just placed a $50,000 wholesale order for some Shopkins. I'm hoping they do well.
They're still hot. They're still hot.
I hope they do well for Q4.
Well, I'm not letting anything out of the bag. I think most people know that. But it's it's just neat. I love the urgency. Again, that pressure, that could put some pressure. But again, these are people that, you know, maybe don't need it, but probably thrive on it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Pressure is motivation for some people. It's, you know, what I was talking about with the debt. If I went into debt, knowing that I have to pay that debt off would make me work harder, even if I didn't need debt.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. Any other groups you want to talk about?
We have a merch by AFT group.
Merch by AFT.
Mm-hmm. This is you mentioned merch. Your son is getting into merch. Merch by Amazon.
Yep.
Okay. This is where you design T-shirts, and we discuss how to quickly design T-shirts that will sell. So you can tier up. You know, you have to go from, I think it's like 25 to 50. 250. Yeah. You want to get to, you know, couple thousand T-shirts, if you can, to really maximize your passive income from merch. So that's what we do. It's that same thing. It's the motivation and it's the how that works together to get results. And that's a cheap group, man. That's only $10 a month.
And that is all right. I got that here. I'm going to have the link for that too. Merch by Amazon, AFT Mastermind. Do you have to be a member of AFT to be in the merch?
Nope. Open to everybody.
Okay, so it's open to everybody, but it is a paid group.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it's $10 a month.
Yeah, okay. You know, I think I went about this backwards because you're kind of supposed to, like, give people the free stuff, right?
Yeah.
So we have AFT Social.
Yeah, you do have AFT Social. That's your other group. Okay, and that is...
AFT Social was created to sort of balance out... It was the answer to a problem. In AFT proper, we wanted it to be... all business all the time, right?
Yeah, you didn't want to talk about, hey, is the weather going to be nice this weekend?
Right.
Anybody going fishing?
People still want to post up, you know, funny Amazon memes or whatever it might be. And so AFT Social was born. The concept is this is a bar. It's a happy hour for Amazon sellers. Come and discuss anything you want, whether it's important or unimportant. Doesn't matter. And completely free. Open to everybody.
I'll have that link there too. Man, you got a lot going on.
Yeah,
man.
I didn't even mention Beast Mode Deals.
Add it in. Go ahead. You know what? I don't mind because, you know, again, I'm hoping that somebody somewhere is saying, man, I've been looking for something like this for me to help me move my business forward. Somewhere I feel like I can fit because I didn't fit over here. Okay, cool. Find where you fit and then just get with like-minded people because, quite frankly, your spouse doesn't want to talk about this stuff.
Right.
They don't want to.
A lot of time,
you know?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, a lot of time, yeah. So tell me about that.
Beast Mode Deals is something we came up with where we were doing a lot of online arbitrage, and we would find great deals on stuff that was either restricted, like maybe Levi's or something. We couldn't sell it, but we knew it was a great deal. And we were like, why are we sitting on these? We should share this with people that might want personal items. So Beast Mode Deals was born from that. And really the concept is it needs to be 50% off or more, and it's not necessarily going to be something that you might flip. It might be something that's kind of heavy, so you wouldn't send that into FBA, or it might be a restricted item or something like that. And occasionally some flips do end up on there.
Okay, because not everybody's gated in everything, right? Some people actually do have access or the ability. Greg Purdy can sell hazmat, for example. FBA.
Yeah, lucky guy.
Yeah, and so, you know, he has posted out there, hey, if you come across hazmat and you got it, and you're, especially if you bought it and you're sitting on it, sell it to me. You know, I'd be interested in buying it if it makes sense. And so that happens out there. And so that's where this can be. So, but it's more geared towards, hey, this is, like you're saying, this is anybody looking for a gas grill, these are 50% off at Lowe's and blah, 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 that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that a paid group also?
No, this is open to everybody. You don't even have to join to see the contents. I believe it's just a public group.
Okay. So I'll have the link for that, too.
Of course, you should join so you can get the notifications.
You've got a lot going on.
Well, Ryan Wateska and I were talking about this, and we really want to strive to remain relevant in the space. And we decided that one of the ways to do that is to constantly be coming up with new stuff and putting them into practice. And if they work, great. And if not, well, that's fine. You know, we'll come up with something else.
You know what, though, is that gets you better, right? I mean, by staying current, staying up on all the new things that are coming out, right? You saw today Amazon launched Video Direct, right? By keeping up with all these things. Yeah, I set mine up earlier today, too, because I have a YouTube channel. Why wouldn't I not put it over there, too, right? I mean, it makes sense, right? By staying current, though, you get nothing but better, right? Don't you?
Absolutely.
Plus, it's fun. Plus, it sharpens you. It's fun, you know, because the risk of this becoming a job. Has this become a job for you, by the way?
Occasionally, it feels like it. I actually get very stressed out in Q4.
Okay.
Because I feel like there is so much opportunity, and I feel obligated to take advantage of it, and there's no way that I can wrap my arms around everything.
And so that wears on you a little bit,
yeah.
Okay. And I'm at petermolius.com, and I'll have that link in there too, which has links to just about all the stuff that we are talking about here today. You've got a lot going on, and you're open for questions, right? You take questions. I've seen you answer people's questions and different things.
I love it, man.
Because, you know, it's very rewarding helping someone, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Again, we're back to what you said earlier, is that why would you want to make more money? Because you want to help more people as you've been helped.
Well,
I mean, that's very cool.
Very noble. There were times in my life where I thought a good idea for a part-time job would be to go work at like Bed Bath & Beyond or something, you know, because I didn't know any better. So I have the knowledge now, and I'd like to reach, you know, people like my past self and say, yo, it doesn't have to be that hard.
It's my conversation with my college son all the time. Like, look, you know, we'll be proud of you, whatever, but really find what you want to do and love it, and the money will be there, you know, or what you need to earn. And if it isn't, you know, get a side hustle, fill in the dollar amounts that you need. That way you can still doing what you love. I think it's a different world today. And as you're saying, if you wish you could reach back and shake yourself back then and say, you could have been doing this all along, right?
Yeah, man. It would be nice. Mm.
All right. Very cool. So, the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward. Now, you give a bunch of tips and a bunch of information, especially because, again, 3+ years, I love the consistency. 7+ figures, buying a house with the warehouse, employee for that long, all these other groups, because you've designed the lifestyle, and you actually even said you love parts of your life. That's a big deal, dude. That's a very big deal. Not many people can say that and really deeply mean it and believe it. So I like that. I really do. So give me another tip or trick that you think that people can go out and put into their business to help them move forward.
Well, for anybody that's relatively new, I think from listening to your podcast in the past, the place that people stall, I think what you said was like $30,000 in sales a month.
Yeah, it just seems to me, I think their limit of by yourself, not everybody, there are outliers.
Definitely.
And I don't want to, there are outliers probably in anything that they do. So I don't want to say that.
But the majority of your listeners would probably maybe be
$20,000 to $30,000. Yeah, I would say that's where people get to that place, and then they're like, how do I get past this? The bottlenecks.
Yeah, well, if you look at my blog, you'll see right across the top, it says, sell what sells. That's the best advice I could give to anybody at that level. What does it mean? Well, for me, it means if you found something that sells well, you're going to start thinking about David Hawkins here in a second. Go out and get more of them.
Chase the product.
Yeah, sell what sells. You know it sells. All you need to do is get more. And how much does David Hawkins put up per year?
Many millions.
Right. So, you know, it's as simple as that. And network as much as you can. because this is an information business, like Agus said on his podcast with you. It's an info business. You might think that your bottleneck is the stores that are in your neighborhood that maybe you won't go past. But really, like, you need that X-ray vision and that laser target to go into that store and know exactly what to buy. And having a network of people that are doing the same thing get you right above that 30K in sales per month. Pretty much everybody that I know that does this full time is putting up, you know, 60, 70, 80 plus per month.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I often think about Brendan Gomper saying that he went to CES a couple of years ago and went home and immediately got rid of his 30 up labels because of what he learned from somebody there, because he was stuck at that point. He said it changed his world. That's the power of a network. I mean, it sounds so simple and easy now because everybody's saying, oh, get a Dymo printer and this and that. Well, you know what? We were all doing 30 up labels not that long ago, right?
I did them.
And it's a bottleneck, right? And he went back and changed that, and it just changed his world as he described it. That's what the power of talking to other people you do. That's what happens, because they've been through the challenges you're up against, and when you get a chance, and if you're open and don't keep asking, give back, right? But when you have that relationship and it gets deeper than a mastermind, and it becomes that more personal, and you ask about, hey, how's everything going, Peter? I heard you were sick. Hey, is everything good now? You know, that kind of thing. You get deeper answers, and you get past that point, and that networking is just so critical. And I look forward. I was just at an event. I can't wait for the next one, because it's not like I'm going to learn what to sell, but I'm learning how to sell better.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good too. That could be another little thing. Sell better, right?
Sell better. That's where your critical analysis comes in, where you say, you know what? I can get, you know, those same small margins that it looks like everybody's taking now, or I could kind of roll the dice on holding this for a month or two and just see what happens.
Yep, and look at what you're doing. I love it. Oh, Peter.
You actually touched on one extremely important sort of policy that I've applied to my business life.
Oh, go ahead.
Get the best of everything. Or don't go for, like, you know, 30 ups are obviously very economical. You use your existing printer, right? But they're not the best choice. The best choice is a label writer from Dymo, which only costs $100.
Right.
You know, it's going to pay for itself in the time savings. Or even better, maybe on some things that you sell, pay to have Amazon label them. That's even more premium of a choice,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But things cost what they cost for a reason. And it's not up to you to necessarily justify it. The marketplace itself is the justification.
Words from the professor. Peter, man, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you've been busy. I've been chasing you for a long time. it's been a long time. And you know what? I just appreciate I appreciate the wisdom that you share and you openly share just regularly. And I just think it's so great. And I think many of us have gotten so much better because of it, myself included. So I really appreciate it. I'll have all the links here. PeterMolius.com. He's got all his blog on there. Lots of contact information there. I wish you nothing but success. I wish you nothing but continued success, because I know you're going to be successful. I just want it to continue. And I can't wait to see what you come out with next. Take care.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephen. It was great to be here with you.
See you soon. Man, that was another great interview. He is smart. That's why he's called the professor. I love his thinking. Again, his group, AFT, I have a link on the website. You can join. They still are accepting members, but it's a no-nonsense group. I mean, this is not a group where you're going to be in there talking about the weather or putting, as he said, memes for, you know, Amazon and that kind of thing. That is not what they do. The fact that they've had 200 members and they're still there, that says something about the group. But again, you got to find a fit that's right for you. If this isn't it, there's plenty of other ones. Find one that you fit in, where you feel like that's the type of person I am. That's who I want to hang with. That'll help you grow your business. ecommercemomentum.com. This episode is 94. There's a link in there for AFT if that's your thing. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.